So, good morning. My name is Song Shenhan, and the title of my paper is Fast Track Foreground App Aware IO Management for Improving User Experience of Android Smartphones. When you look at the patterns of smartphone users using mobile apps, you can see that the whole user experience can be divided into three stages: app launch, app runtime, app switch. Therefore, the app response time at each stage is an important factor in determining the smartphone user experience. However, many Android users commonly say that background apps significantly degrade the quality of user experience. Since I also frequently experience such performance drop, so I wondered how long does foreground app launch time increase. For experiments, we collected four different smartphones, Nexus 5, Nexus 6, Galaxy S6, and Pixel. First, we measured the gallery app launch time without any app in the background, and then we measured the app launch time with background app. Here we set app update using Google Play Store as the background app usage scenario. When we compare the app launch time with and without a background app, we've got interesting results showing that the app launch time increased by up to 2.6 times with background app. We also measured the camera switch time after taking burst shot. Here, the app switch time means the latency for switching app by pressing home button, then we measure the app switch time with background app. Even more surprisingly, the app switch time increased by up to almost 20 times with background apps. So we wonder that what is the main cause of the performance degradation due to background apps? Since there are four main components which determine the app response times, we investigated the impact of background apps on each component. For GPU, it was excluded from the candidate because there is nothing for rendering for the background apps. For network, it was also excluded because the performance degradation also occurs even in offline. So we can narrow down the candidates to CPU and storage. In order to measure the impact of CPU and storage on the app response time, we break down the CPU usage time while running the gallery app only and running app update in the background. When you compare the CPU usage time distribution with two cases, we can easily find that there is something wrong on the performance, storage performance rather than CPU performance, and background I/O is the main cause of performance degradation. After we see that background IOs are the main cause of foreground app performance degradation, we wonder that how often background IOs are invoked. At the recent version of Android, multitasking feature enables various apps run in the background due to plenty hardware resources, such as octa-core processor and 8 gigabyte main memory. Since the most famous background process is app update, so we investigated how often apps are updated. We picked some popular apps, and we found those apps are updated in 1 or 2 weeks in average. So we can easily assume that frequent app updates generate a lot of background IOs, and they have critical impact on the user experience. Previously, I explained the impact of background IO on the smartphone user experience. Now, I will introduce root causes of performance degradation due to background IOs. In order to find the root cause of performance bottleneck from the foreground background interference, we investigated the time spent on each Android storage stack. For the app usage scenario, we used gallery launch, game runtime, and camera switch scenario, and we focused the time spent on the page cache, block layer, and storage device because the time spent on the other layer are very short. When you compare the I/O execution time between foreground app only and both foreground background app running, we found some interesting results that the I/O execution time in the page cache increased significantly in the gallery launch scenario, and the I/O execution time on the storage device increased greatly in the camera switch scenario. In short, page cache and storage device are affected most by foreground-background interference, and we decide to further investigate why foreground IOs are delayed in the page cache and storage device. In the page cache, we found the first root cause as the lock contention, which delays the foreground IOs. Let me show you an example how background IOs invoke the lock contention in the page cache. When foreground dev reads or writes some file, the data for IO are stored in the page cache. And whenever foreground IO accesses the page cache, it needs to acquire the page cache lock. However, when background devs concurrently generate the read-write request, they also need to acquire lock, page cache lock. So whenever foreground IO tries to access the page cache, it always waits the completion of the background IO operation. Therefore, we can confirm that lock contention in the page cache can significantly degrade the user experience by waiting the completion of background IOs frequently. We found the second root cause as high miss rate in the page cache. Let me show you an example how background IO decreased the foreground IO's hit rate in the page cache. Let's assume that page cache becomes full after foreground dev reads a file. After that, when background devs try to read some file, the page cache replacement policy may select foreground data as the victim pages for new files, because clean pages are selected as the victim pages due to low cost. So if foreground dev reads the flushed file again, the page cache miss occurs so that the read request needs to access the storage device with long latency. Considering that background apps usually generate a lot of IO requests, and most mobile application workloads have high data localities, existing page replacement policies becomes a root cause of performance degradation. The last root cause was observed inside the storage device. If host transfers several read and write requests to the device, storage device generally handles read request at a higher priority than write request. For the same type of IO request, the storage device processes them in a five-fold manner. However, this policy will cause an internal priority inversion problem where foreground IO has a lower priority than background IO. Let me show you an example where priority inversion occurs in the storage device. The camera switch scenario generates a lot of write requests for pictures stored in the main memory to the storage device. If there is no background IO, the pictures will be stored in high throughput in a short time. However, when a background dev read many files, background read requests get a higher priority in the storage device than foreground write request. Therefore, foreground write request is repeatedly delayed by the background read request, and the throughput of the foreground write request drops significantly. Thus, we can confirm that existing device IO scheduling policy becomes the third root cause. On the previous slide, we introduced three root causes of performance degradation due to the background IOs. We will compare the storage IO paths to actual load. Since page cache, block layer, and storage handles IO requests with lock mechanism or unique priority policy, they look like the toll gates in the highway. So when the background IO occurs, the foreground IO needs to wait several times at each layer until the background IO completes, which greatly delays the foreground IO. In order to provide the equivalent level of user perceived responsiveness as when there is no background IO, we conclude that we need a vertically integrated fast IO path for serving foreground IO across the entire IO stack. So the fast track provides a new storage IO stack to the foreground IO. It first obtains the foreground application information from the Android platform and detects and preempts the background IO operations. Fast track also keeps foreground data in the page cache to increase the hit ratio. In the block and storage device layer, the foreground IOs are delivered to the NAND flash memory immediately. Like fast track on the highway, Our fast track techniques improve the Android user experience by allowing foreground to pass through the Android I/O stack without any delay. I will briefly explain the design of fast track foreground application aware I/O management, and then I will discuss experimental results and conclude my presentation. Fast track detects foreground I/O and preempts background I/O across the Android storage I/O stack. In order to detect foreground app status detector gets foreground application's unique ID value. After detecting foreground application, page allocator preempts I/O operation for background I/Os, and page reclaimer prevents foreground data from being flushed. I/O dispatcher then delivers foreground I/Os to the storage device immediately. Device I/O scheduler in the storage device detects the foreground I/Os and then preempts background I/O dispatching in order to execute foreground I/O without any delay. Using these techniques, FastTrack can improve foreground I/O performance and improve the quality of smartphone user experience. In this presentation, I will only explain about app status detector, page allocator, and page reclaimer due to limited time. Let me show you how FastTrack detects foreground I/O and maintains foreground data in the page cache. When user launch gallery app status detector detects the change of the top activity of activity stack and then get unique ID value of the foreground app from the currently running activity. In Android smartphone, the unique ID value is unique to each mobile app. And then, app status detector for the foreground app's UID value to Linux kernel using sys file system interface so that page reclaimer is triggered in order to keep the foreground data in the page cache. For the page allocator, I will show you different example scenario. When background app write file B, background I/O acquires the page cache lock and then occupying three pages for file B data. However, before background I/O completes its process, when user read file A using gallery app, foreground I/O will be blocked by background I/O until the background I/O releases the page cache lock. In order to avoid foreground I/O's waiting, whenever foreground I/O enters the Linux kernel, the page allocator detects the foreground I/O using UID values and then raises the foreground I/O flag to let other modules know the foreground I/O's occurrence. Because background I/O's page cache function checks the foreground I/O flag whenever it reaches the checkpoint in the functions, the page allocator preempts the background I/O operation and release the page cache lock for the foreground I/O. After foreground I/O completes its process, page allocator resumes the background I/O operation from the last checkpoint. In order to implement whole techniques of fast track, we need to modify the firmware of storage device of Android smartphones. Unfortunately, since we cannot modify the firmware of storage device of Android smartphones, we implemented fast track on the Android smartphone except for the disk I/O scheduler. And we call this version of fast track as fast track minus. For the foreground and background app usage scenarios, we use two combinations of two apps. First one is launching gallery while updating apps, and the second one is switching camera after taking birth shot while uploading photos to the cloud server. We first measure the app launch time, which is critical to smartphone user experience. When you compare fast track minus and running both foreground and background apps, we can confirm that fast track minus can decrease the foreground application launch time delay by up to 87%. When you compare fast track minus and foreground application only, we can confirm that fast track minus can achieve similar performance to the foreground app application only because internal priority inversion problem does not occur between foreground reads and background writes. We also measure the application switch time with our technique fast track minus. When you compare fast track minus and running both foreground and background apps, fast track miners only improve performance in app switch time by 61%, unlike app launch time. Furthermore, when you compare the fast track miners and foreground app only, fast track miners seems to be far below the performance of foreground app only in app switch time. This is because internal priority inversion occurs in the storage device between foreground write and background reads. In order to evaluate the effectiveness of fast track, including device I/O scheduler, we implemented the whole techniques of fast track on the emulator with host level FTL and customized SSD. In order to run the same usage workload emulation setting, we implemented trace collector to get application usage traces, and then we replayed the collected trace on the emulation environment. We conducted an experiment to verify how storage level performance changes with the presence of device I/O scheduler techniques. For fast track miners, we measured the storage throughput while running camera switch scenario and uploading data in the background. Experimental results showed that foreground I/O throughput is not high because there is an internal priority inversion problem. For fast track, including the device I/O scheduler, we confirmed that foreground I/O throughput is improved even in the storage device. We can also confirm that the major throughput is close to that of the foreground application only. In short, fast track achieves similar performance to that of the foreground application only, even when priority inversion occurs in the storage device. Finally, we evaluated the effectiveness of fast track while increasing the number of background apps. As a background app, we execute up to 6 applications simultaneously. Experimental results showing that when the number of background apps increase, the app response time increased by more than 20 times under normal condition. However, when fast track is used, the app response time increased by up to 1.3 times. Therefore, we can confirm that fast track can provide the equivalent level of responsiveness to a foreground application, regardless of the number of background applications. In conclusion, our proposed fast track can detect foreground application at Android platform and preempt background IOs in the page cache. Fast track also prevents foreground data from being flushed from the page cache and delivers foreground I/O to the NAND flash memory immediately. Our proposed fast track reduced user perceived response time delay by up to 95%. As for future work, we are currently expanding our approach to multiple foreground application usage environment. In addition, we are investigating how to apply our approach to desktop and server computing system where many users concurrently access. Thank you for listening.
Thanks, Sang-wook. Please line up for questions.
So I had a question. So it's like it seems like you had to make changes to the Linux kernel to do the preemption and the page cache. Have you looked at using the fadvice system call to decide what to keep and what not to keep?
So you mean at distinguishing foreground and background IO at the system call level? Yeah, that is our first approach. And so the first naive technique was the sleeping background IO at the system call level and executing foreground IOs only. But for that, the system call level is not that effective because when we sleeping the background IOs, then, and maybe we can miss the background IOs judgment. Maybe we sleeping the music playing IOs, something like that, and then the cost of that is extremely large. So we decide.
This is not about like changing the system calls or preventing system calls. It's using a particular system call called fadvice. So that decides you can specify what page cache blocks to keep and what not to keep.
So whenever system calls are transferred to the Linux kernel, we distinguish whether this is foreground IO or background IO. Then we changing the page cache replacement policy and some allocating mechanism by the information of system call. So yeah, we use the system call to distinguishing foreground IO and background IO in the Linux kernel at the fast track technique. Yeah.
All right, thanks.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Seung Woo Son, UMass Lowell. Yeah. I was wondering if your approach is affected by the status of your storage. For example, the storage is almost full, or maybe storage used a lot of time, so there must be a lot of changes in the on the lower level.
So our fast track, the most of techniques of our fast track are implemented in the Linux kernel, and those are working independently the status of the storage device. But for the device IO scheduler, I mean, yeah, maybe when we increase the priority of write request of the foreground IO, and if there is not enough storage device, not enough free space of the storage device, then maybe some garbage collection or some wearability will occur and decrease the foreground IO throughput. But yeah, currently we does not consider that situation. Yeah, maybe those are for our future works. Yeah, thank you.
I have a quick question, Irfan Ahmed, Cache Physics. So in your work, when you were actually trying to send information to the FTL, basically, the lower level device scheduler, to incorporate priority inversion and keep foreground versus background information intact.
Yes.
Did you have any lessons or any kind of conclusions you came about what that interface could look like? Could it be used, say, could you use, for instance, namespaces or queues, you know, NVMe, or is it something that existing interfaces cannot provide and new work has to be done to increase the aperture of those interfaces?
Very good question. And actually, we did some experimental research with experiments in the SATA-based SSD, and it used the SCSI interface. And we using some empty area of SCSI command to taking the foreground IO information. And some taking foreground IO information is currently quite enough for our techniques. But when you consider the NVMe interfaces and is plenty for some resources, then maybe it could be better for communicating device with some extra information more than foreground IO's information. Yeah, we did not consider the other interfaces than SCSI interface. So, and when we use SCSI command to transfer foreground IO information, we does not have any trouble for them. So maybe we need to find the way.
That's great. I really enjoyed the talk. Thank you so much. Let's end.